Plans. Anita Halleck leaned back in the therapy chair and waited for its heat and vibrating massage to ease the tension in her back. The arrogance of the man, she said to herself, thinking of Jordan Kell's appearance at the council meeting earlier in the day. What does he know of how we've struggled while he was off on his star voyage? We fought our way through 2 bouts of greenhouse flooding. We've worked to prevent the Greenland meltdown from turning Europe into another Siberia. We've survived climate changes that have altered the map of the planet. We've rebuilt entire cities and shifted whole populations across continents. We've learned how to handle a world population of 20 billion, keep them at peace, keep them secure, and now Jordan Kell expects us to send missions to the stars. He's a dreamer, she told herself, or worse, an idealist. What does he know about the realities of politics, of the forces that motivate people? On the other hand, she thought as her taut muscles slowly began to relax, he holds the secret of faster-than-light communication, or at least his alien wife does. That's the key to real power. The rock rats scattered among the asteroids can live independently of our control because it takes so long to communicate over those distances. I can give an order to administrators out in the belt, but it won't reach them for more than an hour, and their response will take just as long to get back to me. I could bring those dissidents out of the colony orbiting Saturn back into our grasp, and the Jupiter habitats. Even Stavanger and his precious Selene could be brought under our control if we play our cards right. Instantaneous communications. I could weave a system of command and control across the entire solar system and out to the stars. The communicator in the armrest of her chair chimed softly. Answer, Halleck snapped, irritated by the interruption of her thoughts.
Signor Castiglione is here, said the bland synthesized voice of her automated system.
Halleck sat up straight, the pain in her back forgotten. Send him in, she said, as she got to her feet and swiftly walked to her desk. Her office door swung open, and Rudolfo Castiglione stepped in, smiling handsomely at her.
"Rudy," said Halleck, extending her arms to him. "Good of you to come on such short notice."
Castiglione was only slightly taller than Halleck, but his broad shoulders and slim waist gave the illusion of an imposing figure. His face was finely sculptured, and his green eyes sparkled with merriment. Rumor had it that he'd used stem cell therapy rather than plastic surgery to remodel his once prominent nose. He was wearing a golden-brown leather jacket over a deeper brown open-necked shirt, dark form-fitting slacks, and highly polished mid-calf boots. Looking him over, Halleck realized all over again that he was a handsome devil, and she knew from personal experience that he was a light-hearted rogue, capable of doing deeds others would blanch at with an unscrupulous smile on his face.
"Sorry for the attire, Anita. I was skiing when your call came through."
As he bussed her on both cheeks, he added,
"Damnably hard to find decent snow these days. The artificial stuff just isn't the same."
Halleck disengaged from him and slipped behind her desk, while Castiglione casually dropped onto one of the burgundy leather armchairs in front of it. He leaned back and crossed his legs, completely at ease.
"I need your advice," she said without preamble.
"Something to do with this fellow who's come back from Sirius?"
"How prescient you are."
He made a self-deprecating little smile.
"You met with him this afternoon, I know."
"The whole council met with him."
"And?"
"He could be troublesome."
"Oh, in what way?"
Halleck outlined the results of the morning's meeting.
"Instantaneous communications," Castiglione whistled. "That could be worth several fortunes."
"It could help to weld all the human settlements throughout the solar system into one united community."
"With you at its head?"
Halleck shot him a mock frown.
"With the World Council directing it."
"Of course," said Castiglione.
"But it won't be easy getting the details of their technology, Rudy. Kell is obsessed with the so-called death wave. He wants us to build starships and go out to save other worlds."
"Sounds expensive."
"Extravagant."
"The man's an idealist."
"Exactly."
With a sardonic grin, Castiglione said,
"I understand you've been working hard to keep him away from the newsflax."
Halleck nodded minimally.
"Oh, he's been cooperative enough so far. He doesn't want that alien wife of his to be the object of their attention."
"Smart fellow. They'd hound her to death."
Castiglione arched a brow.
She's a pretty little thing. I wonder if she's really as human as he claims she is. Might be fun to find out.
Curb your enthusiasm, Rudy, Halleck Mock growled.
So why do you call me?
I'm trying to plan ahead. Kell is all worked up over this idea of a death wave sweeping toward us.
Not for another 2,000 years, from what I understand. With a knowing smirk, he added, Why, you might be retired by then.
Halleck was not amused. Be serious, Rudy. Kell wants us to send missions to other worlds, planets that are much closer to the death wave. He wants to save the alien civilizations he claims are in danger.
Very noble of him.
Very expensive. A half dozen starships, or more.
We can't afford it, is that it?
It would throw our budget seriously out of kilter.
With a disapproving shake of his head, Castiglione muttered, We can't have that.
Leaning forward in her desk chair, Halleck said, I know, Kell. If we refuse to mount these star missions, he'll go to the news media. He'll turn his pretty little alien wife into an interplanetary celebrity and try to work up the public to force us to build the ships and send them out to the stars.
A holy crusade, eh?
An extravagance we can't afford.
So you don't want him arguing with you in public, is that it? Are you afraid he might end up replacing you as head of the council?
Castiglione smiled charmingly as he said it, but Halleck flinched almost as though he'd slapped her in the face. Recovering almost instantly, she said, That's why I need your help, Rudy. I can't have this madman running wild and upsetting all our plans for the next 100 years. He'll ruin everything.
So he's got to be muzzled.
One way or another.
Castiglione steepled his long fingers and brought them to his lips, almost as if he were praying.
I see, he murmured.
Can you do it?
What's in it for me?
The gratitude of the World Council and its chairwoman.
He looked unimpressed.
Couldn't you make it something more, tangible?
Halleck said nothing for a long moment.
Then, with a completely straight face, she replied,
I understand you're having some unpleasantness over unpaid taxes.
He shrugged.
A tax prosecutor who hasn't stayed bribed.
With what you owe and the penalties attached, it comes to a considerable sum.
More than I can pay.
I could make the tax department settle for 10% of what you owe.
You could make them drop the prosecution altogether.
She sighed dramatically.
I suppose I could.
And I suppose I could make Jordan Kell disappear. Him and his pretty little wife.
Halleck nodded agreement.